that's just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
This is Larry Jones. You are listening to the Grace and Glory Hour of the Dyer Baptist Church with our co-pastors, David M. Atkinson and Dr. Lee Atkinson. We are coming to you from Dyer, Indiana. Our prayer is that you will be strengthened by the word today. Now, here is our pastor.
Colossians 1:15. We pick up the subject of verse 15 at the end of verse 13. The subject of verse 15 is the dear Son of God. Now the 15th verse, please. The dear Son of God, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That tells us very plainly that the Lord Jesus is the force who holds together the molecules of this universe. Through Einstein's theory of relativity, men have been able to split the atom. The Lord Jesus is that power that makes all things in the material universe consist or hold together. Verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved, heard in which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Two verses. Notice the first part of verse 20, which is our text. The Lord Jesus, having made through the blood of His cross. And then the first part of verse 23. If ye continue in the faith, grounded. Underline the word grounded. And then go back and underline the words in verse 20. The blood of His cross. We're continuing today our series of messages on the cross of our Lord. We have looked at the simplicity of His cross. We have looked at the power of His cross. And we have looked at the offense of His cross. Today I want for us to consider together the blood of His cross. Hebrews chapter 9 verse 22 says very clearly that without the shedding of blood there is no remission or forgiveness of sins. The modernists and the liberals today say that they are not interested in the blood of our Lord's cross. While men have changed their minds about the blood of our Lord, our Lord has not changed His mind about the necessity for the shedding of blood for the forgiveness of sins. God still says that where there is no shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. The only passport to heaven is written in the blood of our Lord and His cross. We do not go to heaven because we're born into a Baptist home. We do not go to heaven because we're born into a Presbyterian or a Lutheran home. We go to heaven with our passport written in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing but the blood can protect us from the coming judgment that God will pour out on sin. I wonder if you've ever counted how many times the blood of our Lord is mentioned in the Holy Bible. 400 times. And so the modernistic theologians like Harry Emerson Fosdick and others who are repelled by theology of blood and refuse to talk about it, they are leaving out 400 verses of Scripture which refer to the necessity of blood shedding to bring forgiveness to the sin-stained soul. Watchman Nee has written something that is very important for us to keep in mind as we think about the blood of our Lord's cross. Watchman Nee has said this, and please keep in mind these are the words of a Chinese Christian who was tortured for the faith. I am very troubled at the nonchalance with which Canadians and Americans and Englishmen approach this business of being Christian. If you're a Christian in China, it costs you something. If you're a Christian in Russia, it costs you something. We are becoming so nonchalant about the cost of the cross and the cost of the blood here in the Western world. But Watchman Nee knew what he was talking about when he wrote of the blood. For they just kept cutting parts off of Watchman Nee's body as the months rolled on to years. He was imprisoned for the faith for years. They took off fingernails, then fingers, part of his ear, chopped off part of his tongue. There's a man who understood something that I must frankly say some of us here this morning do not understand. And that's the cost of the cross, the cost of the blood. I do not mean to be unkind, but I must say this because I'm the preacher here. We would not so quickly and so easily stay out of fellowship. We would not so easily stay away from services if we really comprehended the cost of the blood of our Lord. If we understood that men have paid for religious freedom with their blood, we would not so easily miss the fellowship of believers. God's word says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. I challenge any Christian who thinks it's more important on Sunday night to watch a favorite TV program than to be with God's people, the saints. There's something wrong with the way you've counted the cost of the blood. Watchman Nee knew something of the cost of the blood when he wrote this. He said the blood is for God to see. The Word says, quoting God, when I see the blood, I will pass over. That's what the Lord said to Israel on Passover night. When I see the blood, I will pass over. The blood is for God to see. The blood is not for Harry Emerson Fosdick to see. The blood is not for Robert Shuler to see. The blood is not especially for David Atkinson to see. The blood is for God to see. God is the Holy One. God is the one whose righteous spirit needs to be satisfied. And so we repeat, the blood is for God to see. The people have said from time to time, well, I don't see what value there is in blood. And people say, I'm having doubts, Pastor. I cannot reckon this whole thing in my mind. I cannot compute it or understand it in my mind. Honey, that's not your job. The blood is for God to see. God has given us His Word that the blood is important to Him, and it's not for you or for me to figure out why it's so. It is just so. God's valuation upon the blood is what counts. And He's promised us when a blood sacrifice atonement is brought, He will consider that a payment for the forgiveness of sin. The blood of His cross. I would say, first of all, this morning, that the blood of His cross is the price of the believer's ransom. The blood of the cross is the price of the believer's ransom. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. And again, we find the subject of verse 6 at the end of verse 5. Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. I saw Saturday evening on NBC News the sad pictures of that California husband and wife who are missing their little boy. He went for, I believe it was a basketball practice, and never showed up for the ride home. And they're putting out posters with his picture all the way from California to New York State. It may be, not necessarily so, but it may be that in a few days a ransom note will turn up. And if there's any crime I hate, it's the crime of kidnapping. I hate the crime of kidnapping with a passion. I think that every kidnapper ought to be executed. I think every kidnapper ought to receive capital punishment. It is so in the Bible. Jesus Christ paid the price for our ransom with His blood. On November the 4th, 1979, some Muslim fanatics besieged the American embassy in Tehran, Iran. These militant Muslim fanatics seized 52 representatives of our country, the United States of America. And for 444 days, these militant Muslims held for ransom 52 Americans. As Dr. Ken McComas says, those were the days, 444 of them, when a pygmy held a prince hostage. And for 444 days, a pygmy world religion, which is not the true faith, held for ransom the United States of America. For 444 days, they underwent torture, most of it psychological torture. One young man, for example, was told that his mother had died in the States when she was alive and well. Others were fed food with worms in it. For 444 days, the Ayatollah Khomeini and his bunch held Americans hostage for ransom. We had 444 days of yellow ribbons for America. As we waited for the ransom to be paid and our brothers and sisters to be released. On Friday, April 25th, 1980, Americans were awakened with the startling news that a daring helicopter rescue mission ended in disaster. Instead of there being a rescue of our hostages, three of the eight helicopters malfunctioned, and the C-130 transport plane that was sent over there to bring the hostages home had an in-the-air collision with yet another of the helicopters, and eight of our servicemen lay with their bodies charred and burning on those Iranian deserts. Eight courageous men lost their lives trying to pay the price to free our hostages. The helicopter rescue effort failed miserably and left America looking even weaker in the eyes of the world and destroyed President Carter's last chance for re-election. May I say that that reminds us, ladies and gentlemen, that you and I will not work our way out of the hostage camp of sin. You can hire 3 or 4 spiritual helicopters to try and lift you out of the muck and the mire of a spiritual Iran. But men and women can never redeem themselves. Men and women can never ransom themselves by works from Satan's hostage camp of sin. Finally, in the waning days of his presidency, as we all were weary of looking at the face of the Ayatollah and grieving over the appearance of the yellow ribbons, finally, in the waning days of his presidency, President Carter and Secretary of State Cyrus Vance negotiated ransom terms for the payment of ransom money. It was decided that $7,995,000,000 in Iranian assets would be unfrozen and channeled through the Bank of London and thence to Iran to pay the price for the ransom of 52 American hostages. And so the news media called January 20, 1981, a day to remember, the day of the inauguration of a new president and the day when the ransom was paid for the liberation of our hostages. Ladies and gentlemen, just as surely, and indeed more surely than that, the Ayatollah of hell has every sinner in bondage and hostage to sin. No price of silver and gold, no human helicopter effort will ever pay your price for ransom. Someone is going to have to intervene and pay the ransom price. I want you to turn, please, to the book of Colossians. Again, chapter 2, verse 14. Colossians 2, verse 14. We're going to look at the ransom note now. The ransom note. Colossians 2, 14. Just as the Ayatollah sent a ransom note and a ransom demand to America, so there is a ransom note to the human race. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Handwriting. It's a ransom note. A written note which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. What was the ransom note? The ransom note was the Mosaic Law. Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. The ransom note that was held before the human race was the Mosaic Law. And the Bible says these were ordinances that were against us. Not supposed to plow with an ox and an ass together. Not supposed to put certain fibers together. All sorts of ordinances and ceremonies and laws. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the ransom note. A handful of Orthodox Jews still try to keep the Mosaic Law, but in their heart they know they fail. For the Bible says, if we offend in one, we've broken the whole thing. And so the ransom note that was pinned up for the human race was this: be righteous, live holy, keep the laws of God. And the human race has failed miserably. We've sent out helicopters. We've sent out spiritual 130 planes to try and rescue men to no avail. For only one could pick up the tab of that ransom note and pay it. And his name is Jesus. And the Bible says that Jesus took the ransom note of the Mosaic Law and he blotted out the ordinances, the law that was against us, having nailed it to his cross. That's a wonderful truth if you realize it in your heart. Jesus took
God's standards of holiness and righteousness. Jesus took the Old Testament law and he made an end of it by nailing it to his cross. Jesus, by his blood, paid the price for the ransom of sinners. Turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. Such a powerful reference at this point. 1 Peter 1, verses 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Now it was interesting when they were trying to gather enough money in the Bank of London to then channel it to the Iranian bank, that they came up 40,000 short. But Algeria, which was one of the countries doing the mediating, Algeria said, no, the Ayatollah wants 7,995,000,000 and you're 40 million short. It's interesting how the Secretary of State and other officials came up with another 40 million to make it up to what the Iranians demanded to pay the ransom for the liberty of the hostages. But the Bible says that we are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold. Not with 40 million or 40 billion. Not with $8 billion. We're not redeemed with earthly money from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest or made known in these last times for you. The blood of Jesus pays the ransom price. Nothing less. We must go on. The blood of his cross is not only the price of the believer's ransom. The blood of his cross is the ground of the believer's forgiveness. I ask you to underline that word, grounded. The blood is the ground of the believer's forgiveness. Colossians 1, 14. In whom we have redemption. To redeem means to buy back. Just like America bought back her 52 representatives. That's what the word redemption means, to buy back. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The blood of his cross pays the price for ransom, and the blood of his cross provides the ground for forgiveness. The forgiveness of sins. If I went into a court of law today, and I've been thinking a lot lately about courtrooms and lawyers and legal procedures. If I went into a courtroom to make a case, the judge would say to me, upon what grounds do you make your case? What a wonderful truth for us to realize this morning, that when Satan says to us, on what grounds do you claim forgiveness? We can answer, we claim forgiveness on the grounds of the blood of our Lord's cross. That's the grounds. The book of Job paints Lucifer, Satan, the Ayatollah from hell, as the accuser of the brethren. And whether the Ayatollah of hell has something on you or does not have anything on you, even if he just accuses you before the Father, Jesus says, here's the grounds, Father. And don't forget the grounds of forgiveness, Father. My own blood, the blood of my cross. And in the eyes of the Father, that's grounds enough. And God the Father says, case taken care of. Case forgiven, for the blood of his cross not only pays the price for ransom, the blood of his cross is the grounds for forgiveness. And thirdly, the blood of his cross is the ground of the believer's justification. Now we're going a step further. We've talked about the blood ransoming, redeeming, buying back. We've talked about the blood forgiving. But now we say the blood of his cross justifies. Turn to Romans 5, Romans 5, verse 9. Romans 5, 9. The blood of His cross justifies. Romans 5, verse 9. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Now, it's one thing to buy back. It's one thing to ransom. It's another thing to forgive. But it's even more wonderful to justify. We'll talk about it again tonight. I may do something wrong against my wife, the queen who lives in our palace. I may do something wrong against her. And she may come the first step and she may forgive me. She may forgive me. She may, however, find it hard to forget what I have done against her. But you see, the blood not only forgives us, the blood justifies us and makes us just as if we'd never sinned. You see, she could forgive me. That's one thing. That's the first step. But if she goes further than that and says, I not only forgive you, I look at you and I forget what you did. And as far as I'm concerned, you never did it. Whew. That's good. That's what the blood does for us. It buys us back from the hostage camp of sin. It forgives us. But it doesn't just stop with forgiveness. It justifies us and makes us just as if we never sinned. V.R. Lakin would say, how do you like them apples? And I sure like them apples. You can forgive me, but you can't justify me. You can say to me, oh, preacher, I forgive what you did against me, but only God can justify me. Only God can say, as I look at you, preacher, I look at you just as if you've never sinned. The blood pays the price of the ransom. The blood forgives and the blood justifies. And number four, the blood of His cross is also the ground. And I keep referring you to that word grounded. The blood is the ground of the believer's peace. Colossians 1:20, having made peace through the blood. The blood is the ground of the believer's peace. I want to say something to you this morning in love. If you're depending on your works for peace of spirit and peace of mind, you'll go crazy. There are certain groups, and we love them in this area, that teach salvation by works. And they teach that you've got to change your ways and change your works to get saved. And then you've got to keep your works all shaped up to stay saved. That's not Bible doctrine. And if you're going to depend on that kind of thing to have peace of mind, it's no wonder you're confused and filled with guilt. The Bible says the blood of Christ is the ground of our peace. The Bible does not teach that our works form the ground of our peace. So if you come to me some Friday night and say, preacher, have you had a good day? I may say yes, or I may say no. You may say to me, well then, how have your works been today? Do you have a good day as far as works go? And if you catch me 2 days out of seven, maybe I'll be able to say, well, I didn't do too badly today on the scoreboard of works. I only lost my temper once, and I only hollered at the dog for jumping on the bed 3 times. That's not bad for me. My works have been pretty good today. But if you'd hit me the other 5 days a week and say, well, preacher, how about your works scoreboard today? I'll say, oh, good night, don't ask. Hollered at the dog 11 times for getting on the bed. 3 more times for chewing on the rung of the chair. Another time for doing what he shouldn't do on the living room rug. I just had a terrible, terrible time today as far as my works go. Now, the plain fact is you have those days too. Yeah, you all look so spiritual. Oh, I know that you would never holler at a dog, but I do once in a while. I know that all your dogs are perfect, but I haven't found them yet. But I'm here this morning to assure you on the basis of Scripture that your spiritual peace of mind does not depend on your works scoreboard. It's not like one of these display boards where you say, "Oh, goody, I've been a good little Baptist today. I haven't been mean to the dog, and I've been nice to my wife, and I gave my tithe. I've been a good little Baptist, and therefore I can have peace of mind." To use a pun, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't depend on your works. It depends on the objective shed blood of Jesus, and that's already done, and you can't change it. Now, you need to confess your sin to have spiritual power. But you need to know that if you're a believer, the blood is the ground of your peace. Look, let's be honest. There are some nights, if salvation were by works, I try to lie down and go to sleep. I'd go out and find the highway somewhere and pray for a greyhound to run over me. If my peace of mind depended upon works, right? But if my peace of mind depends on the blood, I can have peace when I feel like living, when I feel worthy to be alive, and the other 5 days a week when I don't feel worthy to be alive. The blood is the ground of our spirit's peace. I must close. Number 5, the blood is also the ground of the believer's cleansing. The blood is the ground of the believer's cleansing. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. It didn't say being good cleanses us from sin. Unless you misunderstood something I said earlier, it didn't even say that the work of coming to church cleanses you. The blood is the ground of our daily cleansing. Revelation 1:5 speaks of past tense and says that the saints washed their robes. And past tense were made clean. The blood is the ground of the believer's cleansing. For if we confess our sins as professing believers, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's not a matter of where your church membership is. And when it comes down to this, it's not a matter of whether you come Wednesday night or don't. Whether you come to visitation or don't, the blood is the ground of cleansing. That means that I can be cleansed. That means that you can be cleansed. This is our only plea for cleansing, the blood of Jesus Christ. Finally, the blood of His cross is not only the price of the believer's ransom. It is not only the ground of the believer's forgiveness and the ground of the believer's justification. It is not only the ground of the believer's peace. It is not only the ground for the believer's cleansing. The blood of His cross is the basis for Christian fellowship. On what basis or on what grounds can you and I fellowship together this morning? On the basis or grounds of the blood. Now, I want to say this, and I don't want to be misunderstood. But the blood means this. That an adulterer or a fornicator or a thief can walk through that set of doors back there, and a fornicator, an adulterer, or a thief can walk up to a Baptist preacher, and if that precious person has applied the blood, there can be fellowship between a former adulterer, a former crooked thief, and a Baptist preacher who's not fornicated but has other sins of his own. The blood is the basis for fellowship. It's not whether you've been to jail or never been to jail. It's not whether you've done this in your days as an unsafe person or done that. It's, are we standing at the foot of the cross? Do we have the blood applied? That's why Paul, a murderer, could become a great missionary. That's why the harlots that you were talking about this morning could become part of the lineage of the Messiah, Jesus Christ, because the blood is the basis for fellowship. Sometimes I've surprised people. We used to have a large bus ministry in my last pastorate, and a lot of troubled people rode our buses. It's a great soul winning tool to get out there where the hurts are, to run buses and reach people. More than half of the houses that would be represented in our bus ministry had people living under one roof who were not married. They were not husband and wife. But they'd start to ride the buses with their children. And then they'd become born again through the merits of the blood. And you know what? I found that when the blood has been applied to a life, if I'm right with God, I can be really comfortable with anybody who's had the blood applied. And I'll be honest with you, I had better fellowship with some of those people who used to be all messed up but let Jesus clean them up than I did with some Baptists who thought that they were pedigreed for the last 100 years at least. You know, these Baptists who were so holy, they make you sick. These ones who pretended like they've never sinned in their life. And these pedigreed and pretty Baptists who can't remember when they used to be lost would go by me, and I'd be talking with these bus parents and having a great time. Why? Because the blood is the basis of our fellowship, nothing else. Now that does not mean we excuse sin. That does not mean we make light of sin. I'm just saying it means that the blood is what gets us together. And if we are together, it's because of the blood. And if we're not together in fellowship, it's because we're not applying the blood. Mark it down, dear friend. Mark it down. I need the same blood to forgive my temper as the fornicator needs to forgive his fornication. And dear sister, you need the same blood to forgive your gossip as the thief does to forgive his stealing. And don't ever forget it. The blood is the basis for our fellowship, and the blood makes us all equal in the sight of God. This is the blood of his cross.
Just like the Lord, so very much like Jesus.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is graceglory7@juno.com. graceglory7@juno.com. Pastor David M. Atkinson also has a ministry on Facebook and invites you to connect with him there. Now, until the next time, remember to walk softly with the Lord.